Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
So we're on a bit of a journey. Have you noticed that your life has changed?
Yes.
Have any of you noticed that your life needs to change? Let's start there first.
Yes.
Put your hands up if you know your life needs to change. Excellent. Just make sure the person next to you did put their hand up. We're all on a journey of change. And I love it that already we've heard that God is the only person that doesn't change.
Yeah.
The Bible says loads of times he's the same
yesterday,
today, and tomorrow.
But here's a challenge for you. You only need to believe God of today.
Yes.
You don't need to believe really in the God of yesterday. Yesterday helps us to remember that he's exactly the same today as we know he was. And actually, the Bible says, don't worry too much about tomorrow, because tomorrow will be the same as today, if Jesus is the same as today.
Yep.
Is that okay to say that? So actually, God only wants us to believe in him right now, at this moment of time. Is that our trust, as we were singing earlier, hopefully we weren't just singing to the screen, but we were singing because we meant it, is that fix our eyes, gaze. Our glance and our stance is fixed on Jesus now, not yesterday.
Good.
How many of you noticed that if you go on a journey, look back, you either run into someone or run into something?
No.
Or maybe just trip over your own feet. Have you noticed that? I know some of you, you've got eyes in the back of your head. If you're a mum, that's what your kids think. If you're a grandparent, your grandchildren think you have eyes in the back of your head. It's what they think. But we don't want to be walking forward and looking back at the same time, because we'll end up either hitting something or someone. So today is about believing Jesus today. The Bible says today, if you hear his heart, today, if you hear his voice, today, if you see him. So today's a really important day. It's the best day you've ever had.
Yes.
Can I have two or three of you kind of got that? The rest of you, you're just kind of resuscitating yourself. So it was okay. But today is the best Sunday you've ever had.
Yes.
This Sunday only becomes a yesterday Sunday if we have a yesterday expectation. Today only becomes a repeat of last Sunday if we have a repetitive expectation. Another word for that is called religious duty. But we don't like that word, so we use other words. But God wants you to be totally confident in him today. Today is the day of the amazing power of God. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I didn't know that. Today is the day of the amazing power of God. And we're just going to look at, for me, one of the most significant times in history that I was never at, and neither were you, but the consequence of this event has transformed my life forever and yours too. There are some things in the yesterday of God that God did for me even though I wasn't there. There are some things in the yesterday of God that God did for you and you weren't there, but he still did them for you. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant. So in other words, I don't gain or I don't get what God has done because I was there. I get what God did because he did it for me there. Hallelujah. I think that's brilliant. It just helps me remember that I never earned what I've been given from God. And neither did anybody. The Bible says that we're the trophies. How many of you have any trophies? Like you were, you know, come on, you must have had some over there. Tallest Australian, shortest, fastest runner, head boy, best beard. Did anybody have any trophies for anything? That's it. Put your hands up. Don't be coy. Just put your hands up. So you know what? I thought you would have done. I know that people have trophies, but the Bible says that in the mantelpiece of God's room, if we can just picture it that way, he's saved the best mantelpiece for the best trophies. And the Bible says we are the trophies of his grace.
Amen.
So somewhere in our yesterday, God won a trophy with your name on it. I like that. It's a nice, shiny, polished thing that God looks at every single moment. And he says, you're mine. I won your today, yesterday, and your tomorrow is guaranteed. I think that's pretty good, don't you?
Yes.
Even at the top tiers, is that okay? I know you look miles away, but just because you're higher up, that's okay. It doesn't mean you're any more important than everybody else. Away from the balcony. We've got United Nations up there today, haven't we?
Yeah.
You're from Germany, right? Surrounded by two French people. Does that not worry you at all? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is..."
Good.
Lord is what?
Good.
I love this invitation. This invitation makes me understand that there is more of God than I will ever need to taste. That there is so much variety in the flavor of God's nature that I can come and taste him any moment and it's always going to satisfy me. It's always good. Taste and see that God is good. What an invitation that God puts out to us. Fear the Lord. I missed a bit out. Blessed is the one. Hands up the one.
Yep.
If that's too hard, just work out how many people are sat in your chair. One. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in you. In other words, there's two kind of promises here, but there's an implication around it. Taste and see means I have to approach. God doesn't force feed himself in my mouth. I taste and see. I taste and see. It's a funny combination of senses when you know Jesus, because God speaks to us with pictures. He also speaks to us with taste. We also taste and see that God is good by sound.
Yes.
What is all that about? It's about God's nature and God's intention, which is you and I. We just come and taste and see, we experience that God is a good God.
Amen.
And God is going to position himself in whatever way is necessary for you and me to know that. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people.
Yes.
For those who fear him lack
nothing.
Now, there's two nothings in the Bible. This is one. We sang the other one. The other one is nothing is impossible.
Amen.
To help me understand that, I picture what nothing looks like. Do you know what nothing looks like?
Nothing.
Including you. Because sometimes we can think like we're nothing, but we still get an image of us in our poorest condition, having our worst day in the worst year of the worst decade of our life. But the reality is this, is that God looks at nothing and it's impossible for him to leave it like it. The song that we sang, it's impossible for God to look at zero and keep it zero. It's impossible for God to look at broken and keep it broken. It's impossible for God to look at desperate and keep it desperate. It's impossible for God to look at cancer and keep it cancer. It's impossible for God to look at nothing and keep it nothing. So this is what God does. There's a big fat zero and he puts a big fat one next to it, if I can say that about God. And suddenly we become 10 times the person.
Yeah. Come on.
But there's another nothing, and this one talks about the other nothing. And that is that those who fear, those who understand that we can come and taste and see God, and we're going to do that in a different way in a moment, is we lack nothing. The only things that we think we lack are the things that sometimes we desire, but God just doesn't want us to have them. We don't need them.
Yes.
I went to see, you would know this guy. I went to see with Janet a few Saturdays ago a bloke called Monty Don. Have you heard of Monty Don? He's not some Spanish inquisitor. He's a gardener, okay? And he doesn't know the Lord. He's kind of searching and he's looking for God and he's looking for experience. But he said something interesting, which stuck in my head. And it was this. He found on one day on his 17th or just over his 17th birthday, he experienced peace. And he described it like this. He didn't want anything else. He experienced peace. And how he described that is like, I was just complete. I didn't need anything else. I wasn't looking for the next thing or the next person or the next TV program. There was a sense of well-being. And that's what this is talking about. Those who fear the Lord lack nothing. When you know Jesus, when you come and taste and see that Jesus is who he is and he's done what he's done, There is nothing outside of Jesus that we need. Therefore, we lack no good thing. Can I suggest this? If we think we lack something, maybe it's not a good thing, which is maybe why we haven't got it. Because that's what it says in Psalm. You lack no good thing. Well, I've been praying for this and I want that. Yeah, I know, but is that the good thing that we want? Or is that the good thing that we desire? Or is it the good thing that God has given us? So there's two nothings. I like both of them. One is that God looks absolute zeros and makes them absolute heroes. Why? Because he comes and changes them. He doesn't look at nothing and leave it like it. He's not happy with that. We may have considered ourselves nothing yesterday, and we might think there's nothing tomorrow, but God wants to change you today into something. Or we might be saying, oh, if only. Yeah, well, we don't have to be iffy people. We just need to be only people. Yes. Only Jesus satisfies my soul. And this is how Jesus described part of how he satisfies people's lives. John 6 says this, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Man, that is a huge loaf of bread. There are 70 billion mouths to feed in the world today. And Jesus said this yesterday. He will say it tomorrow, and it's still true today, that the bread that I am feeds every mouth that comes and tastes and sees that God is good. But it doesn't just feed them in terms of filling their empty stomach. It fills an empty heart. It fills the void of nothing which not knowing Jesus produces. Sir, these people said, always give us this bread. And Jesus declared this, I am this bread. Whoever comes to me, which is the invitation, I love it. Jesus is not a bread delivery man. He doesn't go around everybody's house saying, do you want some? What he says is, here I am, come and take what you need. He doesn't just throw bread rolls out to everybody because he feels sorry for them. He says, no, come on, if you want to taste and see me, you can. If you want to feed on the bread of life, man, come on, take a piece of me. Take a piece of who I am. I love it. I watch some action movies and some of them, you know, whatever, I have to kind of blank my eyes to some of it. But somewhere in the best ones, you get the hero that basically says, come on, come and if you think you're hard enough. Have you seen films like that? Yeah. Well, Jesus is hard enough to sort you out.
Yes.
Jesus is hard enough to sort me out. Jesus is tough enough to sort you out. What Jesus is saying today is, come on in. If you think you're up to it, come and taste and see me and see what I'll do for you.
Yeah.
What, me? Absolutely you. You're the first person that God is saying you to. Is what, me? Yes, you. And we're going to break bread in a minute, but God's going to do some miracles when we do that. Three of us think so. The rest of us aren't sure. Then it goes on, I'm the bread of life. Whoever, say whoever.
Whoever.
Do we have any whoever's in the room?
Yes.
Ah, whoever's are really, really important because they're not celebrity minded. But neither are they poverty minded. Well, I'm too big for God or I'm too small for God. This whoever is, I'm just hungry for God. You understand that? It's not, oh, well, you know, I've been a Christian for 20 years, it doesn't matter. No, you only say that because you don't think you matter, but God thinks you do. Or I've only been a Christian for 20 seconds, I don't matter. Yes, you do. This whoever implies whoever is hungry. Whoever is hungry, come to me and you will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What is this talking about? This isn't talking about a soul level satisfaction, but an eternal heart level satisfaction. No longer will I have to worry about tomorrow because I fed on God today. No longer will I have to worry about a dry and barren place in my future because there's a wellspring of life in me because I've tasted and seen that God is good. I like this. So we're going to break bread in a moment and God's going to do some miracles. He's just going to do what he does all the time. In the last couple of days, 10 days probably, but particularly this last week, man, it's been an interesting time. I'll put it that way. And one of the things which I've found is really, really, really important is whatever room I'm in, whether it's a room of joy or despair or questioning, whether it's a room of hope or hopelessness, whatever that room looks like, is I want to make sure Jesus comes into that room with me. Whatever room I'm in, whether it feels like woohoo, woohoo, or it feels like, oh God, what are you doing? I want to make sure that Jesus is in that room with me. I just want to make sure I'm not sat in the room staring at a wall. But I know there's someone in the room staring back at me, staring at that wall. And as I stare at him, he stares at me, and there's a conversation goes on, but no words happen. And I'm looking and thinking, oh my God, and he's saying, oh my child. I'm thinking, oh my God, what can I do? And he's saying, oh my child, I've done it all. There's a conversation that goes on, but no words are in it. And I'm realizing that in the subtlety of God's love, he's drawing me to this conclusion. I can come and taste you anytime I want to. I don't even have to be dressed properly. What I mean by that is sometimes I don't have a very good attitude. Sometimes I have an attitude like we all have, which is Greek for raspberry. But the whoever qualifies me. The whoever qualifies you this morning. God puts this invitation out, but he can't determine who's going to respond. He just says whoever responds gets it. And I suddenly thought, okay, you know, sometimes I'm in my office at work, you know, you expect it to be really holy, and sometimes it isn't holy. Sometimes people just wind me up. They send me texts. They send me emails. They send me all kinds of stuff. And I hate that. Because I don't know whether they, you know, maybe they were naked when they wrote it. It's like, really? Maybe they were drunk. I have no idea. I have no idea. Take every thought captive, right? Behave yourself. Yes, I'm looking at all these things, and I read the words, but I don't know them. And you don't either. There's all kinds of stuff that you can interpret and misinterpret. Aren't you pleased that God didn't send a text that said Jesus loves you? Aren't you happy that God didn't just set up a Facebook site and say, please be my friend? Aren't you just pleased that God didn't just do an eternal YouTube clip? I am. Aren't you pleased that actually God sent someone? He sent someone? And he still sends someone? Remember, he's the same yesterday, today and tomorrow? Yeah, I love it that we encourage each other and we do text. And we're kind of encouraging that with the blokes. You know, the men's group's been awesome. I've loved it. The women's men's group. I was going to say women's men's group. That's a funny group. I'll go into that one too. The women's group kind of launches this Wednesday and it's going to be awesome. You know, people have been praying into that and they've been catching the wind of the God of yesterday is the same today. So whatever kind of woman you thought you were or weren't, God is going to reevaluate that for you and put you the right way up. But as I was kind of praying and thinking about this, Jesus said this to me and I believe he's saying it to you. Whatever room you're in right now, he wants to come in it. Whether it's a room of hope, despair, longing, celebration, what if, who if, Jesus wants to be in that room with you. I don't know how many times people broke bread at Passover. Some of you clever historians probably would. I reckon it's 1,000 or so. But on this particular night, it was a bit different because Jesus is in the room. They had the same kind of bread, they had the same kind of wine probably, it was the same kind of groups. If they could find enough people, they had a place where they went and celebrated Passover. But this was entirely different. It's entirely different because Jesus is in the room. People have had followers in the past, people have followers today, people will have followers tomorrow, but not someone to follow like Jesus. An interesting kind of story, and the thing that changed this whole experience was everything that Jesus did. Jesus came, Jesus gave a command. He said, go and find a room and I'll come there and we've all come here today. I have no idea why you're here, but I think I know why God has called you here. But from the very moment that these people arrived and they were the closest friends, the closest followers of Jesus, they came to eat a meal. He came to serve them life. They came to have a religious experience. He came to give them a spiritual destiny. And if you remember, the initial thing that Jesus did was he washed their feet. Well, we've been washing his feet as we worship him. That's one of the meanings of worship. Kiss the hand or wash the feet, or let's give everything that we can to everything he is. This takes us beyond style. It takes us beyond volume. It takes us beyond the songs we like or don't like. This is about how I serve the master who's in the room. This is about how I pour out everything that I am to the feet of everything he is. And even when I do that, there's still room for more. Have you found that? We can worship, like Richard said, we were kind of getting into it. But what was happening? We begin to stir ourselves. We begin to realize Jesus is in this room right now. And as we begin to realize that, our Sunday doesn't become like a Sunday. It becomes like an eternity kind of day where all kinds of things can happen. And then Jesus said this. I've been longing to eat this meal with you. How long for? For eternity. Not just since last year, but for eternity. And I believe Jesus is longing to eat this meal with us today. How long has he been waiting? For eternity. That's awesome, right? God is very patient, isn't he? Because I know that when you come and taste and see of me, you're going to be like lions. So Jesus washed their feet. And it was said about that evening that it was the night that Jesus was to be what? Honored? Celebrated? No. Betrayed. Here's a thought. Jesus will come into the room where there's betrayal and he will change it. Jesus will step into the room where there's been hurt, upset, rumor, gossip, disappointment, and he will change it. Jesus will come into the room where there is hatred and there is violence and there is such a strength of, I want to kill this Jesus, but he will still change it. Jesus said, I've been longing to eat this meal, but it was the night he was going to be betrayed. I'm not suggesting that any of us have betrayed Jesus. All I'm saying is even if we think we've let him down, Jesus will still come in your room and change it. Even if we think we've blown it, Jesus will still come in the room and pump us back up again. Because that's Jesus. Jesus said a few things, and I'm going to kind of read some of this from 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 26. I hope you don't mind that. It's pretty much the same. It's just a little bit of backstory behind it, which is sometimes easier. It says this, what I received from the Lord, that I also pass to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took something. Woo-hoo! And he released thanks over it and it changed. This is part of my key that I'm learning. Basically, this is a key for what you're learning. Whatever your room looks like, thanksgiving helps bring Jesus into the room. In all things, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Whatever our room looks like, start thanking God that at least you're in a room. Yeah, come on. And see how long it is until he turns up with you. Yeah. Can guarantee it won't be long. Then it says he took something very matter of fact. It didn't even have yeast in it. Why? He was the yeast, like you are if you know Jesus. Yeah. You are the life that he wants to life. Hallelujah. He took the bread, gave thanks. And he said this. This is my body, which is for you. This amazes me. This blew all my circuits. Everybody in that room with Jesus needed this. And Jesus provided all of this for them. And he never had it himself. Isn't that Jesus? He's in a room with you. And he only wants to meet every one of our needs because he doesn't have any needs. He wants to feed all of our longings because he doesn't have any longings. So Jesus isn't in the room for himself. He's in the room for the people that want him to be there. which is you and me. Do you get that? I mean, this is amazing. You get this scenario of people laying down, they're kind of enjoying the meal, and suddenly Jesus begins to serve them. They freak out. You can't do that. He says, well, I've come to do this. This is how you approach me. He took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just say remembrance of me with me. Because we're going to go through some things which we remember when we break bread, and it's going to set some of you free. Because some of us just need to remember what we've forgotten. And forget what we remember. Forget the former things. And then about two pages later it says, remember the former things. Isaiah, you're a nut. No, Isaiah's not a nut. What Isaiah says is that don't look back with an emotional connection. If only it was like it used to be. What he says is look back at how I was then, because I'm the same today as I was then. Do you get the difference there?
Yes.
No, we didn't used to do it like this. Well, that's come on. Today's a new day. This is my body which is done for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the liquid mercy of my body. He didn't say that, but that's what he said. This is my new covenant, an eternal contract, unbreakable, unshakable, non-negotiable. Yeah. And because there was nobody who was up for it in the house, he just took this covenant in his own name, like he already had before. There was nobody who could agree with God's covenant, so God just agreed it with himself, and he did the same. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. Just say, remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. Just say proclaim. So there's two things that go on. One's in our head, one's in our mouth. I remember. But what do I remember? What he's done. What do I proclaim? What he's done. Let's just have a little look at this then. Sickness remembers. Remembers his power is broken over you. Division remembers. Because where Christ is, there is a spirit of unity. Lack remembers, because those who fear the Lord lack no good thing. Death remembers. Because Jesus took it on and beat it. Broken relationships remember. Because what was broken, and everybody's born broken. Jesus says, I'll bind up the brokenhearted. I'll fix what you can't fix. Poverty remembers. Jesus took the poverty mentality and nailed it to the cross with him and said, it's done.
Yes, yes.
And betrayal remembers. Yes. All those people that let me down, well, Jesus will let you up.
Yeah. Good.
Things like that we remember when we break bread. Then let's proclaim. I'm loved by God. I proclaim.
Yes. Yes.
I'm a child of God. Yes. I proclaim. I'm led by God, I proclaim. I'm led in victory by God. I'm an overcomer in Christ, I proclaim. I am someone with a future, and I'm someone with a hope, I proclaim. And I am filled with the life of God, I proclaim. I think these two things are really important. Let's remember what we're not and proclaim what we are. Let's all stand, shall we? As we break bread, I want us to proclaim some things. Don't just be nice and say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. In real terms, Jesus' body, his physical body, was not broken. The bread was broken, his body wasn't broken. Had it been broken, it would not have qualified to be the perfect sacrifice that it was. Which is why that it was a tradition of the Romans at that time, just to make it really easy for people to die, that they broke their legs. But Jesus is already dead when he went there. He never broke his legs. So Jesus, his body was never broken. The bread was. It's important that we understand that. One represents the eternal opportunity to know the unbroken Jesus. Not the other way around. Well, Jesus is broken. I'm going to help fix him. No. Jesus is whole and he helps fix me.
Yes.
And the way that I receive that is by having some of the broken bread. But then the blood is the liquid mercy of God. It reminds me that when I gave my life to Jesus, it was because he was merciful towards me. And it reminds me that he is still merciful towards me today. That what the world has made for harm, God will turn for good. Every weapon fashioned against me shall not prosper, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Do you understand that? So when we begin to break the bread and pass it around, I want you to proclaim the identity of the person that you're with. Maybe you just need to ask them, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't know Jesus, it's not quite the same picture. If you don't know Jesus, all you can proclaim is there is hope in Jesus for you. Yes. Give your life to Jesus today and let him take your life and change it. Amen. If you do know Jesus, well, then you know, man, you're a victorious person. Man, you're righteous like a lion. Yes. Do you understand that? Yes. And we're going to do this so we can kind of, everybody can receive this. We're going to break the bread here with my helpers. Here's Judy, my lovely helper. And here's Richard, who's a lovely helper. And we're going to break some bread, and we're just going to pass it up and down the aisles, all right? You can have as much bread as you like. I don't think there's any limit on the amount of bread, but you only take the cup once. Now listen carefully to the cup. We're going to come down here one row at a time and receive the cup. Is that all right? If you need some help, then Albert will help you, or I'll help you, or we'll get Superman to help you. But when you've received the cup, I want you to stay down here if you're down here. You get that? So when we're taking the bread, you can start there. That's fine. We'll pass it around. But when you come and receive the cup, come when you're ready. Come when you're ready for your miracle. Yeah. Because I believe there's both going to Jesus and then him coming to us. That's why we're doing it a bit different. It's not because I'm weird. I am weird, but that's not the reason why we're doing it. Is that we need to come and taste and see. Is that okay? So let's just close our eyes. I'm just going to pray. Father, I want to thank you so much that right now we can come and taste and see that God is good. Amen. I want to thank you that when we've eaten of you, we will never go hungry again. When we've drunk of you, we will never be thirsty again. And right now, we just remind death, your power is broken. We remind sickness, you are defeated. We just remind poverty, you have no influence. We just remind betrayal, you have no room. We just remind broken relationships, you're not permanent. And we proclaim that we are children of the living God. We proclaim that our life is in Jesus. We proclaim that we've received your Holy Spirit. We proclaim that you have made us more than a conqueror. And our victory is assured. You can nick some of those things and reclaim them over each other if you want. It's entirely up to you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.